Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
It's Friday afternoon. Chuck and Julie should be hopefully on their way home. Sorry about the little lag and starting a little bit late. But hey, maybe it's bring Secret Service to your work today or something. And so things are running a little slow. So wanted to talk about a few things. And if you want to call in, and I really want people to talk because I really don't have a lot to talk about. I always try to get John St. Augustine on here with me, and we talk cop stuff. And, you know, now we work for defense attorneys. And so we're having a really good time, I have to tell you, here recently, because we're doing a good job with a lot of these cases that we're working on. We have a lot of great cases to talk about, but unfortunately we haven't really got them completely adjudicated yet. So we can't really talk about them. And he's so busy. He's prepping for a trial next week. I have, cases coming up and stuff. So in the next month or two, we're going to have some really cool stuff to talk about. So, I wanted to kind of just start off and talk about the things that are going on this week, and hopefully you guys will want to chat in. You can talk as much as you want today about anything that you want to talk about, but, you know, this has been a crazy week. I mean, starting from last Saturday with Trump getting shot in a situation, I've worked with the Secret Service before, so I know exactly how these details work. I've actually worked with them on details for the president. It was Bill Clinton that I actually worked on a detail with them. So I can talk firsthand what it's like to work with the Secret Service. But Chuck and Julie asked me to come on Monday to actually talk about the shooting and the Secret Service and stuff and what I know about all that stuff. So I want to kind of hold off until Monday for that. The weekend should be interesting. Monday should be kind of interesting about the Trump shooting. And then obviously the convention. I saw most of the convention. Ironically, the one thing I didn't see was Trump's speech. I got sidetracked, and then before I realized that it was over, and I've seen highlights and stuff. But I'm sure Chuck and Julie's going to want to talk all about that because they were there. I really would like to talk about what I refer to as the Democrat coup on Joe Biden. You know, I really never thought that I would be kind of supporting Joe Biden on anything, but what they're doing to Joe Biden is just wrong. So I want to talk about that a little bit. But to start off, this whole CrowdStrike, when we were starting late and the show didn't start, I started wondering, is this part of that CrowdStrike thing? So you got to think to yourself, how can one small software package, a security software package, bring a whole nation basically to its knees today? And that's what happened. Is they put a release out there and it just jacked everybody. And the problem is, I didn't even realize it because I usually go to bed long before my wife does. She didn't come to bed like 5 till 5 a.m. And I did, you know, it was like I thought she was up watching some stupid show and started just binge watching and couldn't stop. But she told me the next morning, she does work for the banking industry, that all their servers crashed. And so she was working all night trying to get their servers all back up so they could be back in business, you know, when things started at 8 a.m. And so it's just crazy because, you know, here's the problem. All of us, a lot of people don't understand computers very well. I used to be a computer engineer, used to write code, all kinds of stuff. So I kind of understand how it works, but they want to just fix stuff without you even knowing it. Because most of us, it's kind of like a car. You know, I want you to, you know, do maintenance or whatever, but I don't really want to know about it. Just, you know, fix my car so I can, you know, change the oil so I can keep going. So they have these auto updates and you can see them on your computers with Windows-based systems and with Macs where it just says, hey, you know, do you just want to set it up to do auto updates? And it's like, sure, whatever, you know, if there's a new version of the software, go get it. What's the big deal? Well, last night, it was a big deal. So this auto update goes out and it crashes Windows. And for personal laptops and computers, that's not really a major deal. But when you're talking about servers going down, and most systems are designed for an individual server to go down. You know, if this server goes down, we can keep going, you know, and then bring it back up. But when you do this auto update and it crashes all your servers at the same time, now what do? You know, all you have to do is just reboot. Well, that's a problem. You know, this is going to be a huge ordeal. They're going to look into CrowdStrike. They're going to figure out, you know, what the hell happened here. And I think what you should have is a setting, because I do this with my Apple, with my iPhone. I don't want it to update. I'll try to actually stop it from updating for a few days, because that way other people can be the suckers and they can test the software and see if it works. And then after 2 or 3 days, if I don't hear anything, then yeah, I'll tell it, okay, you can auto update tonight. But there should be a setting that says, I want to auto update a week after it comes out, a month after it comes out. But they don't have those settings. You know, they need to test the stuff better. They don't. We are their testers for the most part. And we saw how that worked last night. You know, it brought travel industry to its knees. And Chuck and Julie are flying home today. I was texting with Julie. And it's like, hey, are you going to make it? And they're like, well, I hope so. You know, it looks good at this point, but, you know, we don't know for sure. But you know, that's just a problem that this little software package can do that much damage. I bet it costs billions of dollars. Now, it's kind of good for some people that get paid overtime. You know, it's good for them. They get called in and make some extra overtime, but that's just not how we want to do things. And what if a 911 system goes down? That's problematic. So they'll have to look into that. Now, to talk my brief little thing about the RNC. I don't normally really watch too much of these conventions. It just doesn't interest me. They're usually, I think, fairly boring. This one was fun to watch. And there were some real highlights. I loved it when the senators were chasing the director of Secret Service all over the place. Hopefully they chased her out and tar and feathered her. But, you know, it's the frustration. Can you imagine senators chasing the Secret Service director around? That just was amazing. And she had her own security. They didn't know what to do. What are you going to do? Drop a senator, you know, at the RNC convention? And then you got to ask yourself, what in the hell is she doing at the RNC convention? To me, that just doesn't make any sense of her being there. And I'm going to get back to this in a minute, but well, actually, my understanding is she was there to meet with Donald Trump. Could have done it outside the RNC. She could have gone in, done the RNC, or met with Trump and got the hell out. But she went to some shindig in a private, you know, room or whatever that was rented by a Democrat group. Okay, that just seems kind of hinky as to why, you know. And then her just walking around the RNC, to me, it was just extremely arrogant on her part. After all the shit she's been taking about everything that's going on, the Secret Service almost got Trump killed. It's that simple. And we'll talk about it more on Monday. Their total and complete incompetence. And that starts from the leadership. And one of the answers I want is it true that the first thing she did when she became the director is she changed it that she wanted 30% of the agents to be women? I want to know the answer to that question, because if you want to get Secret Service up to 30%, you're going to have to do 100% hiring of women or 80% women for the next 2 to 3 years, and then you get people in positions that they're not physically capable of doing. So this would be my analogy. If you were a football team and the coach tells you, hey, we need a new linebacker or we need a new lineman, you're not going to go hire a wide receiver. Or someone like, you're going to hire someone who's big and huge. And that's what you need in the Secret Service. I mean, I hate to say that. It's almost like a fireman from the standpoint of there's certain reasons why you hire certain people. And for Secret Service and those type of details, you kind of want to have big guys. Did somebody like to chime in?
Oh yes, Mark. I just wanted to just offer up an opinion on that. I think, can you hear me okay?
Oh, I can hear you great.
Okay, great. I think she might be red meat. I think right now, you know, Limbaugh always said, get the premise right. And in my opinion, the correct premise is the shadow government is trying to kill Trump.
Oh, yeah.
But
Oh.
they failed and they need a cover. So now the cover is either a lone gunman, such as with JFK, RFK, and MLK, or an incompetent Secret Service. So we're amplifying their cover when we focus on the Secret Service being incompetent due to DEI and other things. You know, like where did they go wrong? We're amplifying their cover instead
well,
of focusing
focusing
on the correct premise that they're trying to kill Trump. That's the premise that we should focus on instead of, oh, it was a lone gunman and the Secret Service is incompetent. But the reason why it's hard for people to focus on that correct premise is because people don't want to believe our government would do that. And they don't want to believe there is a shadow government pulling those strings. That's why we can't focus on it. And the reason we can't is because we're afraid we'll be labeled that awful pejorative term conspiracist.
Right, exactly. It
has labeled that to keep us, the public, the masses, from questioning things. And you automatically get labeled that. And until we can break free of fear of that term, we will follow their little bouncing premise all the way down to where we're just thinking, oh, well, it was a lone gunman. He acted alone. He missed. Too bad. And then until we have to deal with the fact that how the world would have been different if that sophisticated sniper, not this little limp noodle, but the sophisticated sniper had accomplished what he intended to do.
Oh, so it could have been ugly.
Yes.
If that had been a team, like, you know, they're talking about the fact that Iran, and don't think that Iran can't get a team in the U.S. to do their evil work.
Right.
And
they're also trying to put it off on, you know, a foreign country that did it. You know, that's their other
Well,
cover.
That's another one. That could be another red
that's
herring.
That's another cover that they're trying to get rid of Trump. Yeah. To me.
It very well could be. And my, when I was, I think that's a great point. I'm not going to ditch on any individual Secret Service agent because I've worked with them. They're all committed to the team, you know, to do the best mm-hmm. job. Someone mm-hmm. at a high level, whether it was in Secret Service or what, someone allowed the opportunity. I mean, this is so absurd. This is almost like the grassy knoll with JFK.
Yeah. And when you started talking about her being there, that even confirms further my theory is that there's no reason for her to be there. But they wanted red meat. They wanted us to focus on Secret Service incompetence instead of.
So you think that they're actually throwing her like a sheep to the lion?
Yes,
saying,
exactly.
You know, focus,
red meat,
focus on the red. Or focus
get her head.
The,
it's not. It doesn't make difference if we get
so,
her
so
head.
So she's going to be. She's going to be the one that ultimately is going to get terminated and they're going to say,
oh, well, we took care of that, you know.
Yeah.
And
you don't need to look at this anymore. We fired her.
Meanwhile, they're planning their next move. You see.
Well they're definitely. And this is the key. And sorry for interrupting. This is the key. They're creating these environments. The key now is they've got to keep Trump alive till November. And don't think this is over. By any means, that they're not going to try again.
Exactly. And so they're going to try. They're going to say, well, it's just, you know, a deranged individual due to all the hate and all that. That's their cover. And if we can blow their cover, you know, we got a chance if we can just point at them and say, no, it's not deranged. It's not incompetency. Y'all are trying to take them out. And that's why they need to know. And when I say they, I'm talking about this deep state cabal that, you know, is trying to destroy our country and turn it into
conflict. And it's a multi-prong. Again, I'm sorry. It's tough with Zoom and stuff. I apologize. I don't think this is the only thing they're working on. They're manipulating the whole system.
Yeah. And so, and the other way I think we can really, you know, back them off is to have a really deep bench, you know, a really deep bench of, make, you know, it's American sovereignty versus globalism. So we've got, I think JD Vance is you know, American sovereignists. And I think we've got a pretty deep bench of people that can carry on the torch. See, they want to destroy the leader, so they will destroy that movement, you know. And so I hope our bench is a lot deeper than the Democrat bench.
Right.
Okay.
But I actually think they're more scared of J.D. Vance than they are of Trump. Because there's really no great fear. I mean, I don't understand why they're so afraid of Trump. 4 more years and he's gone. Okay. Why do they fear so? I think,
because he can impose a lot of tariffs on the globalist, and he can make Mexico turn those factories back over to the United States, those car factories. He can cut into the globalist pocketbook pretty deep in 4 years. And so it's all about, you know, it's all about money and power, and he's going to level the playing field and return money to the United States and get us out of debt.
And right. Well, and that's, you just stepped on probably the biggest landmine. I want to, if you want my total support, you've got to talk about getting rid of the national debt.
Right. And see, they're, the globalists are willing to throw the United States to the wolves. They don't, you know, we're no longer the golden goose that laid the golden egg, because we used to manufacture. You know, our men and women worked in those factories, and they produced those, you know, they turned out cheap goods. I mean, good goods, quality goods, right, for low prices. But then they got China to do it cheaper. And so now we're like, they're like, who needs the United States? But Trump is like, we need, you know, this is our homeland. It's not just an idea. It's our homeland. And right. So we're getting in the way of their profits is what I'm thinking. So anyway, I've taken too much of your time, but good
that's
job.
What I want people to talk. And I don't want to discourage people getting into the game, so to speak, you know, because I really love to listen to Chuck and Julie. I could listen to them all day, because a lot of the things they talk about and who they bring on and everyone, it's very entertaining to me. So yeah. I want people to, you know, to chime in. And like they say, everybody has a voice on this show. We may not all agree with everything, but we're going to listen to
right. And you know, that's another thing I liked about the convention. You know, I don't agree with a lot of those lifestyles and beliefs, but really they, you know, they had a voice and they got to be heard. And I think it brought in a lot of unaffiliated and disillusioned Democrats. So I was just thrilled with the convention. Anyway, so, okay. Well,
it
thank
was
you so
entertaining.
Much.
And obviously I love to hear when Trump said, drill, baby, drill. Because I think that's one of the craziest things is, we were energy independent. And I mean, Biden did so much damage so quick. And that goes with one of the things that I say all the time. It takes a lot of people to build and very few to destroy. And so it didn't take much for Biden to go in there and just destroy all these paths in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they hate Vance so much. Because if you think about it, like with Doug Burgum and all the other picks I would have been good with, but J.D. Vance is young. And so he could step in, and they're just thinking, oh, no, not another 8 years after Trump with another individual that has the same visions as Trump. That's got to be just giving them nightmares.
Yeah. And see, and I think they were hoping he would go with Rubio, which is the, you know, the old Bush neocon.
The safe bet, the safe bet for Trump was Nikki Haley. I mean, if he'd have picked Nikki Haley, you know, they were saying, oh, you'll win in a landslide, but Trump's not into what's safe.
He's
got a plan.
He would have disillusioned the whole Trump base so much with Nikki Haley.
It would have been interesting. I would have just gone back and said, well, okay, Nikki Haley, whatever. But with J.D. Vance, again, I think it's about his legacy. And that.
Yeah, Nikki Haley would not have been an insurance policy at all.
In fact, she would have said, let's support and give more money to Ukraine instead of taking care of ourselves. And I mean, that's kind of how I feel.
J.D. Vance is the perfect insurance policy. And, you know, a lot of people are thinking like Vivek and J.D., they're real close. And they kind of grew up with the whole globalist support, you know, they were Yale University, and, you know, they were kind of the shining stars that the globalists would love to have on their team. And I think they saw that team And I think they're saying, like, no, I don't want to be on that team. And so they're on Team America now, on Team American Sovereignty. So they have the sophistication of knowing what is going on in the world. And so I think they, I think that is why they're scared of them.
Right. So, and I'm a definite firm believer of America first. I mean, this would be like the CEO of Ford trying to help out Chrysler or helping, you know, the competitor. That's not your role. It's not Joe Biden's role to take care of the borders of Ukraine and let our, I mean, it's, it, to me, that's just insane. You're the president of America, not the president of Europe or China or whatever. Right. And so,
well, they're basically saying they're throwing America away. They're throwing America under the bus. They don't care. And right. We've got MAGA, American Sovereignists, that still do care. And we've got to convince the rest of the country that this is what it's going to take to save the country. And
well,
so
I think a lot of people are seeing with letting in all the illegal aliens, it showed a lot of minorities in large cities who they really care about.
Right. I mean,
it almost feels like you're the old girlfriend, you know, the boyfriend dumped you. And now the new girlfriend is illegal immigrants. Yeah. I don't care about minorities.
That's good. That's good. So, yeah, the minorities, Latinos and blacks, are like, oh, wait, this is what they're doing. They don't care about us.
Right. So, you know, so, and that's
the,
how
well, you know,
they
that's
are.
The law of unintended consequences.
Yes.
They did
yes.
something they thought was going to help them, and it turned out to be just the opposite. So I think if we keep the spirit alive, and, you know, when Trump says fight, 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 you know, he's really saying fight with your vote, fight with your voice. Fight with your pocketbook, you know, fight with your resistance. You know, there's fight with love. There's many ways to fight.
What I would say he's saying when he says fight is don't give up. Don't capitulate. Don't let them, you know, don't let the bullies win. And it's kind of like those four senators going after the Secret Service director. To me, it looked like they were going after the bully. You know, they're like, we're going to call out the schoolyard bully. But, you know, you could be right that she's going to be the sacrificial lamb.
She is the red meat that's going to get us distracted off of the real story.
What really happened that day? Because you really need to understand who was making those decisions. And we'll talk, I'm sure we'll talk a little more on Monday about that. But they definitely, at a minimum, somebody, whoever they are, created an environment to get Trump killed. I mean, there's no doubt about that. They created this environment and said, you know, here's hoping that somebody, you know, goes and does something. Because if you do all the rhetoric, you know, and just if you keep demonizing Trump, you know, like a magazine putting a picture of Trump looking like Hitler on their cover.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, see, that's their cover, is that because Trump has been so demonized, you know, there's a crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And they created that cover. But really, we need to just say, no, that's not what happened. We know you're after him. And you might get him, but we've got 100 deep behind him. So, you know, what are you going to do? Plan things for them, too? So, you know, we've just got to really multiply. And I think the convention cause, you know, people to get on, you know, on the MAGA train, the America First train. But, you know, sometime, and not you, but someone, it would be interesting. There's a movie out called Man in the High Castle. And it's about what would have happened. How different would the world have been if Germany had won the war? And yeah, they go down into the decades following that, you know, and it shows how the United States is divided up into different regions and under fascism and all that. And it would be like, it would be interesting to see what, how things would have been different if Trump had not made it. And I mean, I think we would have Nikki Haley as our nominee, you know, and because she was the one with, you know, the most delegates. Everyone else had dropped out. You know, I don't know what they would have done, but it, you know, would be interesting to imagine how it would be. So we've really got to protect Trump. You know,
that would
we've
be a nightmare. They've got to keep Trump alive. And I think I said actually a couple months ago to not be surprised if there isn't an attempt on Trump, because I mean, here's kind of, and the next thing I wanted to talk about to kind of move forward was what I refer to as the Biden coup, because this group, whoever they are, have obviously turned on Biden. And I just get the feeling, it's my opinion, that somehow Obama is behind a lot of this stuff, because they keep looking to Obama to, like, somehow what he has to say matters, you know? So, but they cleared the whole way for Biden again through this whole primary season, like, you know, RFK, and there was another congressman that wanted to run. They just cleared the way for Biden. But then they set him up. I mean, because here, if I was, and this is like campaign 101. If I know that the person I want to win, Joe Biden, has some form of dementia and he's sinking fast, would I ever have a debate before the convention? Stupid, 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 stupid. So he's got a traitor amongst his crowd that mm-hmm. convinced him that somehow this is a good idea. Because what I would have said was, I mean, if I was on his team, I would say, don't debate him at all. Just sit there and say, I am the president of the United States. I don't debate convicted felons. Mm-hmm. And play that game. Mm-hmm. Don't let him go out there. Get through the convention. I wouldn't even let him out of the White House. You know, the whole basement thing worked before. And if people say, where's Biden? What's going on with Biden? Have him come out on a few controlled speeches or whatever, and then create a crisis. I would create a crisis that requires him. It's almost like, if you remember back with Jimmy Carter, he didn't go out very much. Of course, he lost, but he didn't go out very much because he said the Iran hostage thing. I would come up with something that would keep him in the White House. And if you lose some votes over it, who cares? It's your best chance is to keep him out of the public eye. But yet, what do? They do this early debate. Then their answer after the debate is, oh, we're going to put him out there more. Well, he's going to get sick. I mean, if you put an old man out there and push him, what's going to happen? He's going to get sick. Well, what happened? He got sick. So I think he's being set up. And I'm not even sure. I mean, it's not a constitutional issue, because it's not in the Constitution how the Democrats pick their person. But they're breaking all the, they're talking about breaking all their rules, forcing this guy out. And I heard, I don't know, rumors or whatever, that they're going to threaten him with the 25th Amendment and saying, hey, how would you like to be the first president booted on the 25th? And I actually agree with that, because to me, there should be no conversation about Biden dropping out of the race unless he just wants to, because he won it. They rigged it, but he won it. The thing, and if he's too incompetent, or whatever the term you want to use, to run for re-election, isn't he too incompetent to be our president right now? And so shouldn't they boot him out on the 25th and get rid of him and make Kamala Harris the president? I mean, that's really what should happen. If you want to follow the Constitution, he obviously is not in control. We know this now. We knew it ahead of time, but now even the media is saying that, wait a minute, what's going on? And they knew it all along, but he needs to be booted. I mean, that's how the Constitution works. He has dementia. He has diminished capabilities. He won't take a test, you know, to prove all this. They need to pull the 25th Amendment on it, but it's not good for us. It's actually better for us to just let Biden hold it out, but I just don't see that happening. I think the coup's going to win, and it's as entertaining as we thought the RNC was. I think the DNC could be even more interesting in watching how they boot Biden or how this plays out. And they're negotiating. I mean, this is what I heard in the news today. They're negotiating his exit. What negotiation, dude? You quit. You get out. There's no like, well, we'll give you this and we'll give you that. What are we talking? Does he get a new car? I mean, how does this work out? You know, he's already got the best medical care anyone could ask for. I don't understand what would you negotiate? It's like, you know, now, if you want to talk about Hunter Biden, I get that. And I don't know how this works. Someone else may know this. He can't really pardon Hunter Biden. Now, he can pardon him for what he currently, right? But can he make the tax evasion go away with a pardon? Or do they have to wait till the trial? I don't know the whole deal with Hunter Biden. And surely Kamala Harris isn't going to agree to pull a Gerald Ford. We saw how that played out. It's not good for your reelection campaign. But this is what I think, though, when you want to do the comparison of Donald Trump, I just love this, and the Democrats, whoever that group is, whoever they are, and I think Obama's in there somewhere, and some others of the, from his administration are still in there pulling strings and doing things. I think they look like the coyote in the Roadrunner cartoons. So it's like their whole thing that they want to do is kill or capture Trump. And they're trying all these different things to get him. I mean, some of these things are just crazy. So they go to the Acme whatever company and they, you know, try to catch the Roadrunner, and the Roadrunner always evades them. And see, they're not willing to say this. And I have to be very careful about how I word this. And only a few of the Democrats were willing to put this out there, and they've just been hammered. You know, there's a whole bunch, like from MSNBC and other of these far left liberals, that all in their head are thinking, oh gosh, you know, why do you have to miss? Why do you have to miss? You know, and they know they can't say it, but they believe the end justifies the means. And so for them, it's like this all could have been solved. You know, we could have won, even, you know, Kamala or whoever, you know, but they believe, they're so into this, that Trump is, you know, the Trump derangement syndrome or whatever. And again, I think you also do have this group of businessmen who want to control the world economy, and Trump's not helping with that. But I'm so sure that they're just petrified right now, because Trump is sure looking strong right now. And the Democrats, they look like the stupid ass coyote. They can't do shit right. Everything they do is blowing up in their face. It's like that stupid coyote, you know, when he lights the fuse and he goes, shh, boom. And you got, you know, Democrat guts everywhere. You know, the coyote just can't seem to win against this little evasive roadrunner. So to me, that's Donald Trump. And I hope and pray that that continues. And I've told people this, I'm not a huge Donald Trump fan. I think his policies are awesome. You know, I think there's others that can follow in Trump's footsteps and do a pretty good job of, but they need to continue the policies. And that's what motivates me, is I know my life was better under Trump. So all Trump needed to say in his speech at the convention is he could have walked up there and said, ditto. I'm going to do ditto. I'm going to do what I did before, and we're going to do it even more. He needs to finish the frickin' wall. I'm so sick and tired of people saying, well, obviously the wall doesn't work. He started building it and it's not helping at all. You know what? When you can walk around the wall, it's bullshit. You know, you got to finish the wall. No one sneaks out of North Korea. So obviously they can secure their border. So why can't we secure our border and then have a constructive immigration policy, massive deportations of criminals that have illegally come into our country? Everything Trump is saying, I'm on board with. But we need a long-term strategy in the Republican Party that we are going to end the national debt. We're going to make sure that Social Security is solvent, and we're going to be a lawful nation that follows the Constitution and not our own personal agendas. But I think we're in a crazy time, and I've said this earlier. This summer is just going to be so entertaining. I hope it just doesn't blow up too much. I really was excited about the national convention, the Republican. I saw a lot of unity there. And someone just brought up a great point about Biden won't endorse Kamala. I think that's really the battle. I don't think the argument here is that Joe has to go. I don't think that's an argument. I think they all in their hearts know that Biden is diminished. He's done. I think they all are like, oh, dear goodness, not Kamala. And they want to get somebody else in there. So let the fighting begin, because this could be just entertaining, because they're breaking all their rules, you know, to do this stuff. But I just, to me personally, and we have to head in the direction. Oh, you somebody threw the name of Hillary out there. Just I just started cringing, but we've got to work on the national debt. I mean, we got to get in the right direction. Energy independence, forget this whole stupid electric car mandates, windmills and all this other stuff. When they make economic sense, private industry will put windmills up. If they don't make sense, then don't put them up. because right now I'm not sure they're actually making a lot more money than they're costing. But so that's kind of a, they're a kind of I love someone getting on and talking with me. And if anyone else has anything to say, this would be a great time. I'm kind of wrapping things up. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I can talk about. Anybody else got anything they'd like to say? And understand, my opinion does not reflect Chuck and Julie. I'm just one guy. So
Hi. I just want to ask, it's Jacob. I just want to ask you one thing. This CrowdStrike, that they were after Trump in 2016, weren't they?
you got
Didn't they?
me.
I think they created the yellow fountain or whatever they called it on the, in the hotel
Oh,
room.
geez. That whole conspiracy about going to Russia for
Yeah.
sex thing or whatever with Trump, which was
Yeah.
total BS. It never happened.
Right. But that was CrowdStrike. And
Really?
now that that everybody thinks Trump's going to win the is going to win the election, the general, maybe CrowdStrike's getting afraid of all that, and they had a little downtime today to clear out all their files. That's what
Well,
I'm thinking.
I would say this, if probably the reason a lot of people are very scared of Trump getting back in there, because I think Trump learned in his first administration, I
Yeah.
think he figured things out. So he doesn't need to learn anything in the second administration. He's going to move in there and he's going to be ready to rock and he's going to clean house and he's going to get, I hope he's going to get rid of all these bureaucrats that are not elected officials that are making decisions that's not how this country is supposed to work. And they're gonna, I hope, reveal a lot of what's going on behind the scenes. I keep hoping this and waiting for it to happen. To hold these people accountable. Like, yes, Joe Biden, actually, I would say Joe Biden has nothing to worry about. Joe Biden's gonna pass away before he can ever be held accountable for anything. I can see his deterioration. Unfortunately, I saw pretty much the same thing in my father. So, and Joe's kind of progressing the same way. So, but I want these people held accountable. You're talking to a retired detective, cop for 17 years. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, or whatever. If you commit a crime and you screw with this country, you need to be held accountable. And that's the main thing I want.
And one last thing is the
Yeah.
when Trump was in office, there was always chaos in the White House, chaos in the White House. And now what have you got? You got chaos in the White House because the current president doesn't want to drop off of the campaign. And now, like I'm hearing, is he doesn't want to endorse Kamala. And wasn't it Trump that was got really mad at his vice president also in the last election? So it seems like there's a parallel going on. You know, what happened before is happening now. They call it shadow fraud or something, Freud or something. I don't remember,
I call it
but
karma. I call it
I call it
karma.
karma.
You know, if you start, and I really feel this, you know, when I was out in uniform working the street, I really felt that if I treated people with respect, I would get it back. And it 9 times out of 10, it worked great. But you know, one of the things the Democrats are mastering is accusing the Republicans of what they're doing, which is the greatest distraction you can ever do, is just say, oh no, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. You know, and it's like, wait a minute, you're doing the same thing.
Exactly.
But
Whenever the Democrats blame the Republicans for something, it's because they're doing it themselves. And now it's all coming to roost.
9 times out of 10. And I want to know, I just, it's kind of like inquiry minds want to know. They need to do a mini series about this because I really want to know who's the puppet master behind Joe. Who is freaking calling the shots? Because Joe is down with COVID and he still puts out there to get rid of more student debt. Well, you know, he can't, dude, he's laid up. So somebody's making the wheel still turn and Biden's laying in bed, you know, trying to remember what he had for breakfast. You know, but the coyote is still busy. I mean, if you want to know the moral of the story, the coyote is still after the Roadrunner, and we hope that the Roadrunner does not get caught.
That's right. Okay, have a great weekend. Thank you.
Oh, you bet, man. Looking forward to Chuck and Julie being back on Monday. You don't think Joe has COVID? I don't think he has COVID either. I think that it's he needed an escape. He was really looking bad. And if you watched him get on Air Force One and actually watch him, this is what amazes me. You watched him slowly go up the stairs on Air Force One. I get that. If he has COVID and he's just, man, having a bad day, and he's in Las Vegas. I just got back from Las Vegas. It is freaking hot. So, I get that. But then he just took this like 5 hour flight or whatever, 3.5 or whatever across the whole country. Then going down the stairs, he looked worse. Then getting in the car, he looked worse. So he should have had a 3 hour nap. I don't know, man. I think there's more
Sherry
going
from Lakewood, Colorado. Sherry on line one.
on. Yeah, go for it. Are we talking?
Hello.
Yes. This is
Hi.
Mark. Go for it.
Okay, so I wanted to bring up your mentioning about the reporters before, and I just wanted to give you an idea. Okay, there was a lot of press at that rally where President Trump got shot, and there was also like a New York Times photographer that was taking photos of his upper body in the 8,000 frames a second, which you normally wouldn't be shooting. And so they had the photograph of the bullet. So what
Yes.
if maybe, okay, all the talking heads, the politicians, sorry, and the news outlets, their immediate reaction was they refused to call it a shooting or even acknowledge that anything happened. He fell, right? There was loud popping noises. Biden announced that it was an accident. Well, maybe they already had their narrative. Maybe the script was written that Trump was dead at the hands of a lone wolf Republican kid with an AR. And instead, they got news that Trump was miraculously dodged death. And then he did this badass fist pump. Well, they
Yes.
had to tweak their script. And so they had to pull old Morning Joe off because they had it all ready to go with storylines about assault weapons. But all of a sudden, their scripts didn't work out anymore because they had planned on reporting the death of Trump and the new ban on assault weapons.
By the hands of the weapons that he would not ban, almost like.
Yes.
He kind of got what he deserved because those stinking Republicans won't ban those killer assault rifles. And actually, what they, if you're going to ban something, it should be handguns. More people get killed by handguns and knives than assault weapons. But yes, things all seem convenient. I just, the whole, this is what I would tell you. And I've worked on a presidential protection detail with the Secret Service, been there, done that. I worked right with the Secret Service with Bill Clinton. And I'm telling you, this whole thing just does not make sense to me. And the question
And
is,
then
go ahead.
the short, did you see how the shorts that they stood to make $500 million because they were shorting Trump's companies and Rumble? And if they would have killed him, it would have destroyed his fortune, his family's fortune, and this platform used by the alternative media to report on such crimes.
So one of the theories is that they went short on his stock, thinking it'd go down, and it's gone up this week. I actually monitor DJT because I've bought it before. There's money to be made there in stocks. That's interesting. They need that. And what I was about to say was, they can peel back that first, layer of onion. And you can say, oh, Secret Service screwed this up. The leadership screwed it up. But they need to keep peeling that onion to see if there's more. If they can, it makes no sense to me that that building was just left open for the taking. I mean, it 130 yards, not how that
Right.
works. I mean, it's just not,
Right.
that's not how that works.
And then the first guy's name is Violet, and then who's the other guy? Yurden, Yurkin or something? There's two shooters. There's three sounds. I mean, come on.
They really need to go in there. But and the first problem is who's doing the investigation. It's the FBI and the Secret Service. First off, you never let the same organization do their own investigation. That's not how that works either. I wouldn't let the FBI because they have a vested interest. This is still another agency driven by the Biden administration. So you need to get an outside agency, which will never happen. I mean, it's just not going to happen. An independent investigation. This is going to be just like John Kennedy. We're always going to be talking. It's not going to be the grassy knoll. It's going to be the sloped roof. Everyone's going to be talking about the sloped roof, which is a total red herring as well. Her statement is so stupid. We felt concerned about putting them on a sloped roof. That's bullshit. It's just total bullshit. The anti-sniper.
And I think they wanted to show his brains being blown out to traumatize America. Then maybe you can get your civil war, just like they did with Kennedy.
Well, I mean, with Kennedy, the film just wasn't good enough back then. Right now, you know, with everybody around snapping photos of Trump, we would have had every angle of that kill shot, which would have been so disgusting. It's so amazing because I know I have multiple. Well, I don't want to talk about the weapons I have. 130-yard shot with that kind of weapon. To shoot a person, I used to shoot wild boar down in Texas with those weapons, and you could drill them at, you know, 150, 200 yards. So it's just the whole thing. We need more information, and I don't think we're going to get it from the Secret Service, but I'm interested to see if she is the sacrificial lamb. I would tell you this, we probably need to wrap things up. I would say in conclusion, I would say on Monday that director of Secret Service, Kimberly, you know, cheat 'em all or whatever her last name is, she's going to say, I can't discuss that. I can't discuss an ongoing investigation. She's going to say that 150 times on Monday. I can't discuss an ongoing investigation. So she doesn't mind coming over. You know, she doesn't care. She'll go to the Congress. She should. She should have no fear. And just say, oh, I can't discuss an ongoing investigation. Sorry, can't do it. You know, I'll get back to you in about 6 years. And then we can talk about it. It'll all be classified. You know, they really got to be scared now, because if Trump wins and he gets in office in January, he's going to open all that up. I mean, it's just, and that's kind of the stuff that I love. I love, I don't want to say conspiracies. I love bad people getting caught. Maybe that's just the old cop in me that I don't like people getting away with stuff. I love karma, you know, where bad things happen to bad people. But I want to know what really did happen at that day. And like I said, to do a little promo for Monday, Chuck and Julie, I'll be on the show again to talk about my experiences working with the Secret Service and how that works and stuff. And my thoughts, maybe we'll know more by Monday. I doubt it. But who knows, that there are people in the Secret Service that appear to be leaking it. But then you wonder, are they part of the system? Are these leaks what they want us to hear? Or is this truly revelations into what is really going on behind the scenes at the Secret Service? We don't know. We can't trust the media anymore right now. And that just is unfortunate. You know, I don't think we'll ever really know what happened to JFK, and I don't think we're ever going to find out what happened to Donald Trump last weekend. I think there's going to be a lot of people pointing fingers, and there's going to be scapegoats and all kinds of stuff. But hey, have a great weekend. I'm cutting it a little early. I know we started a little late, but great talking to everybody. I love that. Whenever I love the guest host, because I want Chuck and Julie to keep doing this. I don't want them to feel tied to the show. So I'm always willing to help out. I want to have open, free discussions. I'm just a single Republican, lifelong Republican, and my views are mine, and I won't knock anyone else for theirs. So have a great weekend, and I'll see you guys on Monday.